Let us begin with a word of prayer before we get into the word today. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity you've given unto me to be able to submit this sermon today on your behalf. I pray, Lord, that the words that you've given me to speak, they'll reach needy hearts, Lord. I pray that minds will be open and ears unstopped. And I pray, Lord, that when all is said and done, that you be glorified. And that Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray, will be lifted up. Amen. Amen. Now, let me ask you this. Let me ask you, almost every day now, some of us, if not all of us, well, we have to make decisions. Now, decisions can be enormous, or they can be tiny, or they can be important, or really of no consequence whatsoever. But we have to make decisions. Am I going to stay in bed, or am I going to get up? What am I going to have for breakfast, the usual, or something different? What am I going to do to fill my day? Decisions. We make decisions. And with every decision you make, there's a consequence to be realized. Always a consequence. It doesn't have to be something enormous that's going to offset your day, but there's always a consequence to everything we do. Should we or shouldn't we consider buying that used car, for example? Or what about that older home in the country? Or what about that school you're thinking about sending your child to, what will I make for dinner? The list goes on and on and on. Every day there are decisions. But tell me, did you always think about the consequences? The consequences, or do we simply humdrum our way through life, never really realizing that there may be consequences to our decisions? Well, the title of my message today is Consequences. Consequences. Let you and I reminisce a little bit, all right? Remember when you got your first job? It was moving day. You were moving up in the world, my first job. No more picking apples or cotton, nothing like that. No more corn husking or squishing tomatoes. No, sir. No, madam. It was time for some serious money making, doing a serious job for a boss who paid a serious wage. Yes, sir. And then when you got your first paycheck, well, you couldn't wait to hurry home and boast aloud, "Hey, my pa, I'm a bona fide citizen. I just got my first paycheck from my real boss. Yahoo!" It was indeed time for rejoicing. And those were the consequences. The immediate consequences. You might even say, "Hallelujah and praise the Lord." Oh, we all loved paydays. We still love them, don't we? We look forward to them. The culmination point of a week on the job, or a fortnight, or a month, or whatever. But you know, there's someone you should know about who paid the biggest wage ever paid on your behalf, and you didn't have to move a single muscle, or hand, or a foot. All you had to move was your lips and your heart. Wow. Take a listen to this. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, I must tell you, my friends, there is none other payday that can top, that can outdo, that can or will give so much in return for so little. Nothing. It took place only once, and it can never be repeated. And talk about benefits. Oh, I want to tell you, the benefits is out of this world. Out of this world. You know, over 2,000 years ago, a Savior came from glory. We all know that, don't we? And for one purpose, and one purpose only, to save a sick and dying world from eternity in a fiery hell. Now, we may all know it, but we don't all accept it, do we? No. His name? Well, we all know his name, too. His name is Jesus Christ. And I say this respectfully. If you want him to pay your debts and give you a home better than any home you could ever realize in a heaven, all you have to do is repent and believe. Repent and believe. You must first understand that there's no other way for you to live all eternity in the presence of a holy and righteous God except you repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow. Hebrews 9, verses 27 and 28 makes it very clear. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He's coming again, folks. He's coming again. He's right at the door, and if you ain't ready, then you're going to believe a lie, and you're going to worship the Antichrist. That's right. My friends, there's nothing, absolutely nothing that can weigh you down more than your own sin. Oh, if your sin was in a backpack and you went out for a walk every day, you'd be walking on your back. The sin weight that we all bear is really unbearable if we only but admit it. There's no other way to spend eternity in heaven than through Christ, the Christ of God, Jesus Christ. Christ died once for all, never to be repeated, and one day, and I do believe very soon, he'll return for his saints. Now, his saints, of course, are those who are saved. Once you get saved, you become a child of the King, and you become a saint of God. Yes, he'll return very soon. He'll come in the clouds. He'll come in the clouds. There is no soul so black that it cannot be revived. Do you get that? You might think, well, I ain't fit. I could never go to heaven because I'm just too bad. Well, It doesn't matter how bad you are, how evil you are. That's why Christ went to the cross, to cleanse you with his precious atoning blood. So don't let that be a problem. Don't let that be a stumbling block. Don't let that hold you back. You go right ahead. Repent and believe, for there's no other way. Just be prepared for his coming. That's all. Realize, believe in his coming in the clouds of glory, at the sound of the trump. When we will be raptured, taken out of harm's way forever. Not just for a day or a month or a year, but forever. Oh, what a time that will be when my Jesus I shall see. What a day that will be when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. What a day that will be. Now, if we look in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. How wonderful are these words. Listen carefully. This is so ultimate, so important. If we confess our sins, you got that? If we confess our sins, a lot of us let pride get in the way. We don't want to admit, oh, well, that's really not a sin. If you think that, then it is a sin. It's a sin to even think that. If we confess our sins, he, that's Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The key word, all. Not just some of them. Not for those ones that Catholicism says are venial sins. No, we don't categorize sin. Neither does Jesus. Neither does God the Father. Sin is sin. Now, if we confess our sins, he, Jesus Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The key word, like I said, is all. What some folks fail to realize, is that once saved, always saved. Once saved, always saved. You can't deny him. If you could lose your salvation, that's the same as saying God can deny himself, and he can't. Well, of course, as long as we're in this flesh, we will continue to sin until that day when we're taken out and our bodies, our fleshly bodies are changed. But until then, we have an advocate with the Father through the finished work of his Son, Jesus Christ, at Calvary. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great news? As long as we're in this flesh, we're going to sin. Now, I'm not saying we're going to sin incessantly like we have before we got saved. No. We're going to realize our sin. But we're weak in the flesh. But the atonement covers that. The blood of Christ covers that. So that in the eyes of God, we can come before him. We can pray. He will listen to us. When he looks upon us, he doesn't see the sin. All he sees is the blood of his precious Son. So what should we watch for as we wait for the imminent return of Jesus to call us home? What should we be doing? Well, we should be praying. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. And we should be telling everyone we talk to about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Now, I know it's not always convenient, especially in the workplace. I have come under sharp criticism myself. Even had to give up my day job and go to a night job because I spoke too much on behalf of my Savior to those who would come into my office. You see, I have this habit that every time I'm talking to somebody, I want to know if they're going to heaven. And if not, I want to know why not, and I want to give them the gospel. But you see, the world doesn't like that habit. Your boss may not like it either. But there's nothing you can do about that. Just keep on keeping on in the Lord. You know, though our sins are under the blood, past, present, and future, doesn't mean we will not continue to fall victim to sin. Victim to sin. Long as we are in these fleshly bodies, and though we cannot lose our salvation, we can fall out of fellowship with God. Oh, you don't ever want to fall out of fellowship with God. You know why? Because you can lose blessings. You can't lose your salvation, but you can lose blessings that He wants to pour out upon all His children. And in some cases, well, God may even take us out. Ooh, that's if we get too weak and cannot battle or continue to battle the lust of the flesh. Sometimes God will remove us. And of course, the most crucial of all, we will suffer loss of rewards when we appear at the bema seat of Christ. We'll have so few crowns to cast at the Savior's feet. Oh, you want to have lots of crowns to cast. You want to show that you believe, that you trust, that you tried. Then there's also the possibility that, other than Him taking you out, that He may allow our sin to work its natural consequences. Isn't that the title of the sermon? Consequences? God may allow our sin to work its natural consequences where we are tried beyond our limits. Do you get that? We are tried beyond our limits. Sickness and disease, well, they may be allowed to weaken us and try us. Ooh, this is perhaps part of God's learning and purification process for His saints. He will allow things to happen that you may question about, why, Lord, why me? But there's no reason to ask why. You know why. Because you have turned aside from the natural process of serving your great God. You have put Him on a shelf, so to speak. You've not let Him be preeminent in your walk. You're doing other things first, and just placing Him maybe even a little bit afterwards, when He should be a little bit before. Get the picture? God first. God first, always first. I've seen it happen. I've even experienced it in my own life. You know, my life hasn't been easy, and I'm not complaining, because the end result has been, oh, praise God, I belong to Him now. But I have many reasons to give God the glory. In my old life before salvation, I was sickly. I had many problems. A long life's highway, you might say. But God's healing hand came upon me once I gave my life over to Christ. Once I gave myself to Jesus Christ in faith, believing, and trusted in God, and prayed incessantly. Prayer. Prayer. Prayer is our greatest ally. Never forget that. Never stop praying. I don't mean you close your eyes and you're driving down the road. You want to say a quick prayer. No, but always have a conversation open with the Lord. Let him be the topic of your conversation when you're talking to others. Don't be afraid to say, oh, yeah. Don't say, "Boy, was I ever lucky." Say, yeah, praise the Lord. I've heard many Christians say, boy, was I lucky today. Oh, look, it's like shoving a knife in. Was I lucky? What's luck got to do with salvation? Nothing at all. You know, there's no limit to what God, the God of our salvation, there's no limit to what he'll do to us who refuse to turn aside from our sinful estate. There's no limit. Of course, he cannot rescind your salvation. Rescind. R-E-S-C-I-N-D. Rescind. Take away your salvation on the grounds that, as I mentioned earlier, he cannot deny himself. You see, God cannot deny himself. What he says, he says. That's the truth. And he cannot deny it. He can't say, well, okay, I'm blessing you, I'm going to do this, and then say, oh, no, I don't think I will. No, no, God's not like that. I mean, if you go back in the old days under the law, you may have a problem there. But once you're saved and you're a saint of God, you may fall short on blessings, but you'll never have God deny himself through you. No, that cannot happen. Oh, yes, we can surely rejoice. We can surely rejoice in knowing that all our sins, past, present, and future, they're all under the precious shed blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Now, on the other hand, be careful. Be careful. God will not be mocked. God will not be mocked. If you profess to be saved, you profess to be a Christian and are walking with the devil, that's exactly what you're doing. You're mocking God. You're professing that you're saved. You're professing that you're a Christian. You're professing that God is your heavenly Father and that you're going to heaven, and yet you're walking arm in arm with the devil. That's mocking God. That's a serious offense. Oh, yes, our salvation is secure. Our destination is still reserved. However, here's the big however. It is highly advisable to keep short accounts with our God. Short accounts. You know what that means? Every day. Like, you don't go on for a week without praying. You don't just take one day at a time and say, oh, well, I prayed last night. I think I'll pass it up today. I just don't feel like praying today. No, the fact of the matter is, when you don't feel like praying, that's when you should be praying, because that's when the devil gets the opportunity to just sneak in there and give you a good kick. It's highly advisable to keep short accounts with God. Now, I told you why. You ask because, like I mentioned earlier, those sins that do so easily beset us can bring forth dire, what's the word? Consequences. They can bring forth dire consequences. Those sins that so easily beset us can bring forth dire consequences when we stand before Christ to receive our crowns to cast at our Savior's feet. Oh, I can hardly wait for that day. My friends, never, never take your sins for granted. Don't say, oh, well, that wasn't a real bad sin. That was just a tiny little sin. God will forgive me. Well, he will, yes. If you ask him. He's waiting for you to ask him. That's what it means when the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Always be in an attitude of prayer. You know, you sin without even realizing it. So when you pray, say, Lord, I know I sinned today. I'm still a sinner even though I'm saved by your grace and by the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. I know I'm a sinner. But Lord, if I did anything today that wasn't pleasing to you, will you forgive me, Lord? Will you look upon me with your grace and strengthen me? That's what I'm talking about, is enabling grace. As long as you keep short accounts with God, keep your sins ever before you, knowing that they're there. As long as you're in this flesh, you will sin every day without even realizing it at times. Keep short accounts. Keep short accounts. You see, God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. Okay? Did you know that God is so holy that he cannot even look upon sin? He can't look upon it. Did you know that? How can we expect God's blessings if he can't even look at us? Remember this. When Jesus Christ was on the cross, bleeding and suffering in great agony for the remission of our sins because he was sinless. Do you recall what happened? Do you know what happened then? Well, listen carefully. God, being so holy as he is, had to send 3 hours of darkness upon the land as Jesus bore our sins and the sins of all the world in his own body. Did you know that? You know why? Because the holiness of a pure and righteous God could not look upon his only begotten Son, laden down with the sin of the whole world. Every sin that was ever committed by mankind was carried by the Son of God that day on Calvary when he shed his blood. Every sin, not just yours and mine and your neighbors and the church you go to, every sin, the whole world. The darkness of that day, those 3 hours, would not diminish until the debt was fully paid by the blood that flowed from Emmanuel's veins. Oh, praise God, and to the Lamb, praise Him, praise Him. You know, some have asked, what happens to our sins after the cross? Well, the Bible tells us clearly that when we repent and are believers in Christ, then every sin we have ever fallen to is washed as white as snow, as white as snow. You see, I mentioned it already, but it's worth repeating. Jesus not only died for our sins of yesterday and today, but also those sins that will come tomorrow. Keep short accounts. Show him. Talk to him. He wants to hear from you. I'm sorry. Forgive me. You are already under the blood. You're already forgiven. But he wants you to keep short accounts with him, to keep talking to him. You know, we need his fellowship, and he needs our fellowship too. Do you believe that? The Bible tells us clearly that when we repent and are believers in Christ, then every sin we've committed is under the blood. My friends, the sin issue has, get this now, the sin issue has been settled. The debt has been paid and can never, never be repeated. You got that? The sin issue has been settled. The debt has been paid and can never be repeated. If we fail to acknowledge what Christ has done, then we are without hope, any hope, and eternally lost to the fires of hell. And you don't want to go there. I'll close with this. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1, verse 21. So, if you think you know all about the consequences of living without Christ, I ask you to please, please consider the consequences of dying without Christ. You got that? If you think you know all about the consequences of living without Christ, please consider the consequences of dying without Christ. May the Lord be with you. In Jesus' name.